From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all his fullness.
We're delighted that you've joined us for another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak, featuring the recorded messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. On today's program, Dr. Cairns continues a series of messages on the 8th chapter of the book of Romans. The text for this, the 8th in the series, is verses 12 and 13 of the chapter. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live after the flesh. For if ye live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the flesh, ye shall live. In the whole epistle to the Romans, the Apostle Paul has been defining and expounding the doctrine of justification by faith. In the verses of this text, he is teaching that the truth believers have received should affect the way they live. Here we see the impact of the gospel in daily life. In just a few minutes, Dr. Cairns will commence a message entitled, The Holy Logic of Free Grace. First, please listen to this devotional thought taken from C.H. Spurgeon's collection called Morning and Evening. This morning's text is found in Luke chapter 14 and verse 10. Friend, go up higher. When first the life of grace begins in the soul, we do indeed draw near to God, but it is with great fear and trembling. The soul, conscious of guilt and humbled thereby, is overawed with the solemnity of its position. It is cast to the earth by a sense of the grandeur of Jehovah in whose presence it stands. With unfeigned bashfulness it takes the lowest room. But in afterlife, as the Christian grows in grace, although he will never forget the solemnity of his position, and will never lose that holy awe which must encompass a gracious man when he's in the presence of the God who can create or can destroy, yet his fear has all its terror taken out of it. It becomes a holy reverence, and no more an overshadowing dread. He is called up higher, to greater access to God in Christ Jesus. Then the man of God, walking amid the splendors of deity, and veiling his face like the glorious cherubim with those twin wings, the blood and righteousness of Jesus Christ, will, reverent and bowed in spirit, approach the throne. And seeing there a God of love, of goodness, and of mercy, he will realize rather the covenant character of God than his absolute deity. He will see in God rather his goodness than his greatness, and more of his love than of his majesty. Then will the soul, bowing still as humbly as aforetime, enjoy a more sacred liberty of intercession. For while prostrate before the glory of the infinite God, it will be sustained by the refreshing consciousness of being in the presence of boundless mercy and infinite love, and by the realization of acceptance in the Beloved. Thus the believer is bidden to come up higher, and is enabled to exercise the privilege of rejoicing in God, and drawing near to him in holy confidence, saying, Abba, Father. So may we go from strength to strength, and daily grow in grace, till in thine image raised at length, we see thee face to face. Do you have a desire to study the Bible, but you're not really sure how to go about it? Several ministers of the Free Presbyterian Church, including Dr. Alan Cairns, have produced a brief but very helpful brochure called 10 Commandments of Bible Study, which will help you to gain much blessing from your time in the Holy Scriptures. The method is designed to help believers achieve a comprehensive knowledge of the chapter contents of the Scriptures and to enable them to use that knowledge to guide and quicken them in their personal prayer lives. For a free copy of 10 Commandments of Bible Study, simply email ltbs@freepres.org. That's ltbs@freepres.org. Or you may write, Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Increase your knowledge of God's Word by requesting your free copy of 10 Commandments of Bible Study.
Turning tonight to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. We come to verses 12 and 13. Verses 12 and 13 of Romans chapter 8. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live after the flesh. For if ye live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. Amen. The Lord will add His own blessing to the reading of His Word for His own namesake. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live after the flesh. For if ye live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. You'll notice that the text commences with a therefore. It's always important when you're reading, especially in Paul, to notice the therefores and the wherefores and the so thens. The writing of the Apostle Paul, inspired of God, yet using in his own mysterious, miraculous manner, the particular mindset of the writer. The writing of the Apostle Paul has two great characteristics. I'm not talking now about its content. I'm talking about its style. It's two great characteristics. One is the constant eruptions of volcanic passion. You read that again and again. Paul was writing deep theology, but he never wrote it like an academic, though he had more true learning than the great academics who comment upon him. He could never write with a cold, clinical, academic detachment. With Paul, there was always that volcanic element, the eruption from the depths of a heart that was moved by truth, of devotion, and of application. The other great characteristic of Paul's writing is its logic. Paul wrote in a very methodical and logical fashion. Now, sometimes the volcanic eruptions erupt in the midst of the logic, and that can lead to many a headache for the interpreter. And that's good. You see, it's the book that should be in charge of the interpreter, not the interpreter in charge of the book. When we come to this passage of Scripture in Romans chapter 8, Paul is starting the chapter, "There is therefore now no condemnation." Now again in our text, "Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live after the flesh." He's starting off with this great premise that truth has consequences. Truth has consequences. Truth is not something that's merely to be learned. Truth is something that has to be lived. And indeed, in the New Testament, learning and living are so united that true learning always involves living according to the truth received. When the Bible talks about learning Christ, it's not talking about merely reciting or learning so as to be able to recite a number of propositions about Christ. Oh, it's important that we be able to do that. And it is shocking that so very few Christians could actually take their Bible, maybe after being saved for 20 or 30 or 40 years, could not take their Bible and just open up the Scripture and say, "There are the great propositions about the deity of Christ, the humanity of Christ, the virgin birth of Christ, the sinlessness of Christ, the atoning death of Christ, the bodily resurrection of Christ, the high priestly intercession of Christ, the offices of Christ." We ought to be able to go through the Scriptures and know them well enough. This is true of every Christian who's been saved for more than a few months. We ought to be able to go through the Scriptures and be able to establish from Scripture the great propositions of the truth about the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ. But learning Christ is a whole lot more than being able to do that. Learning Christ is to know those things in such a way that they actually control how you live, and they govern your actions, and, of course, this is always much more difficult, your reactions. You see, the actions of Christians, genuine Christians, the actions of genuine Christians, usually, not always, but usually, are in the ballpark of what is right. And certainly if they get out of that, it's much easier to bring them into line with God's word. But reactions, we talk about, this is one thing I learned when I came to America, or soon thereafter, you have the phrase gut reaction. Guts don't usually look good, and even when they're spilled verbally, they don't look any better. Gut reaction, often wrong reaction. It's usually self-centered, maybe passionate. You see it in the home. You see it in marriage difficulties. You see it in parents with their children, children with their parents. You see it in vicious language, hateful behavior. It's sudden. Before you know it, it's on you, and then you repent at leisure. But what Paul is saying is, when you learn Christ, learning Christ is learning Him and His gospel in such a way that it actually controls the person in his actions and his reactions, in his behavioral patterns, in the heart, in the home, in the head. All those things. Truth has consequences. Now, as I say, this is the principle in which Paul is proceeding here in our text. Therefore, now this is a conclusion from what goes before. It may be a conclusion from the first statement, there's therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. Therefore, we are debtors. Or it may be a conclusion from the much more immediate context. We are not in the flesh, therefore we're not debtors to the flesh. We have the Spirit, therefore we are not debtors to the flesh. So whichever way you look at it, there is a foregoing context out of which grows this great conclusion that the apostle is here stating. In many ways, this is where he begins his application of what he has been teaching in the foregoing verses about the doctrine of our justification in union with the Lord Jesus Christ. There is a lot of very, very serious deviation from the truth being taught as truth from Romans chapter 8 on the subject of sanctification. Coming to this chapter, there are well-meaning preachers, and some of them considerably able Bible students, and they read sanctification into Romans 8. To them, Romans 8 is all about sanctification. And they're wrong. Romans 8 is an exposition of the text in verse 1. There is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. The whole chapter is an exposition of our justification in Jesus Christ. Some of these theories range all the way from sinless perfection. I mean, I've said this before, so I'll not go into it in any detail, but I can well remember preachers coming to this passage, and the body is dead because of sin. Without actually giving an exegesis of it, without giving a serious exposition of the words, they said, this is sanctification. In sanctification, your body's dead. And that sounds very good, except that it's just nonsense. For it says it's dead because of sin. But they were trying to make you believe it's dead Shem. And I can remember as a young fella having this put to me. I thought, well, if this is true, I certainly know nothing about it. You've heard me give this illustration. I did not invent it. This is what I heard some people pushing. You stretch out a dead body, it's dead. It's just plain dead. You curse that body, what does it feel? Nothing. You kick that body, what does it feel? Nothing. Why? Because it's dead. And the theory was, if you're sanctified, then in the flesh you're dead. You don't feel anymore anything with regard to sin. There were people, of course, who decided that was going too far, and they had a halfway house. And this is how they put it. Can God keep you from sinning for half a second? And unwary Christians will say, oh, I'm sure he can. Yeah, he can do that. Well, if he can keep you from sinning for a half a second, could he keep you from sinning for 1 second? Well, yeah, I'm sure he could. Well, then if he can do it for a second, can he do it for a minute? Could God keep you from sinning for 1 minute? Well, no, a minute's not too long. Yeah, he could. Well, what about 5 minutes? What about an hour? And if he can keep you from sinning for an hour, can he not keep you from sinning for a day? Well, then why not a week? Now we've gone a week without sinning. Well, what about a month and a year? Well, why do we have to sin at all for the rest of our lives? And of course, it's all based on a nonsense. And it may come as a shock to you that there's not half a second of time in your life that you're without sin. There's not half a second in time in all your life that you love God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. In other words, I'm saying that in our holiest moments, there's not even in that moment a sinless conformity to the first and great commandment of the law. See, it's easy to construct theories of perfectionistic sanctification notions if you have a low view of sin, or if you have a low view of the holiness of God. But let a man once see the purity of God's holiness and feel the depths of human sinfulness, and he will never talk in terms of such nonsense as human sinless perfection.
On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns and the ministry of Let the Bible Speak, we wish you and yours a most blessed and joyous Christmas. May the truth of Christ's coming into the world to save sinners be a living reality at this happy time and throughout the coming year. Let us rejoice in Emmanuel, God with us. You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope that you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of God, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, A New Beginning, a booklet that sets forth God's way of salvation in clear, concise, and biblical ways, you may have it free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. You may email us at info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. Also, we invite you to visit our website at www.faithfpc.org. If you would be interested in considering the establishment of a Free Presbyterian Church in your area, by all means, let us know. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us Monday through Friday at this same time as we let the Bible speak.